Just ignore the hairy man behind the curtain. Welcome back to the Desert Springs Church Podcast. It exists to supplement the ministry and growth of the body here at Desert Springs Church. My name is Drew, and I'm trying to make it difficult for you to listen to this on 2x speed. So, Matt Danner, slow it down. Put it at 1x. You got to listen carefully. We have a fun episode today. I've got Pastor Tate with me. Tatenda, Blessing, Madzima, a.k.a. Pastor Tate, who's our children's pastor. And our special guest today is Benjamin Hobbs. Jonathan Hobbs. Benjamin David.
Joel.
Benjamin Joel. Joel.
Yeah.
He didn't even let us guess. Yeah. We like to guess.
I mean, I knew, but...
You did? Okay. Yeah. You're well, back. And your son, that's your son's name.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So, Ben, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
You are the latest addition to the staff at Desert Springs Church. You are the new minister to youth and families. Mm-hmm. Yes? Is that what we're calling you?
Right. Minister to youth and families.
Or that's it. Youth and families minister.
Yeah.
Wherever we want to put.
Youth and families minister. Minister's at the end, I'd say.
Okay. Yeah, it just depends on where you want to put it.
Consistently inconsistent with titles.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Just call him Ben. Wonderful. Ben, tell me about, tell the podcast audience about your family.
Yeah, I am married to my wife, Destiny. We've been married for about 8 years. We got married in 2015. And we have four kiddos. My youngest is just 4 months old, my daughter. And so we're still in kind of the newborn phase, not sleeping phase.
Okay.
But we're getting through it well. And my other three are boys, and they're just about all 2, 4, 6. So they're nice. They're the easy, even 2 years apart. So
that's nice. Stack them. Yeah, like Tupperware. That's great. So if you fall asleep at any point due to sleep deprivation, we'll just edit that out and we can move on.
I think I can pretend to sound like Ben.
You can answer
his questions for him.
We could have AI maybe.
Perfect.
Just jump in and do the interview. Okay.
Just chat GPT it there.
Well, let's back up a little bit, Ben, and tell your testimony. Tell the story of your conversion, how you became a Christian.
Yeah, definitely. I was raised in a home where my family claimed the name of being Christians, but man, that really just taught me how to be moral. Mm. I really became super legalistic. We were always talked about as the good kids in any gathering we went to. I have two older sisters and one younger brother. And growing up in that environment, I didn't understand what it looked like to be forgiven based upon grace alone. That really started to take shape after my parents got divorced. They went through a pretty nasty divorce, and 9 years of my young childhood was in Idaho. After that, we moved here to Albuquerque.
How old were you when your parents divorced?
Nine.
Yeah.
Nine. Yep. And once we moved here to Albuquerque, my mom and God's wisdom and guidance had her plug us into a local church here, and we were there all the time, Wednesday nights, Sundays, Saturday mornings at times. And that's when I heard the gospel for the first time and my need for salvation through Christ alone. Yep. Yeah,
Praise
just right
God.
Down the street. Mm. Yeah, we were at that youth group all growing up. And in fact, the middle school and high school pastor there is the one that baptized me. He became a super major influence in my wife and I's life. And he was the one that married us too. So there's a fun connection there.
Yeah.
But
great.
That's when I heard the gospel. And then over the next, I'd say 8, 9 years, I didn't have a lot of good discipleship. So there was a lot of wandering in those teen years. And I met my wife at 19. And soon after that, we got married. And right in that time frame, we started looking for a new church. And that's when we came here to Desert Springs. And that was a huge chapter shift in my walk.
Yeah.
There was some pretty immediate discipleship that happened after we came here that made a world of a difference in my walk with the Lord.
So what year did you guys start attending Desert Springs?
That was 2020. 2015.
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah, that's when we got married, and that's when we started looking for churches
married,
and came here.
Came to a new church.
Yeah.
A lot of change.
Yeah, came back from our honeymoon, first service at Calvary. After that, said, honey, we should look for other churches here in town.
Okay.
Starting our new thing together. Hmm. So
talk about... the last however many years you've been a member of Desert Springs Church. Talk about that discipleship and growth process that's led you to where you are now.
Yeah.
Did you ever imagine in 2015 that you'd be full-time vocational ministry? Had you been thinking of that at all?
Yeah. No. Well, my wife and I on our honeymoon, we still joke because we look back to it. She asked me, honey, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, I don't know. I just want to serve the Lord. And at the time, I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know seminary existed. I didn't know that formal training could be sought out. And my new wife at the time was, honey, you need more of a plan than that, right? So it was on my radar so far as I love the Lord, but I didn't know what serving him looked like. But yeah, first year here, Randy Pierce snagged me. He wasn't an elder at the time. We were going to community group and said, hey, has anyone taught you how to read the Bible? Great Randy question. Yeah, yeah, such a great brother, faithful brother. And that commenced a two-year discipleship where we sat down with one another one time a week, opening up God's word, reading it. And I learned so much from that. But that's just one example of some intensive discipleship that happened when I came here.
Wonderful.
But I mean, the preaching of God's word week in and week out, that shapes people.
Okay.
So that's been huge.
Yeah. Then when was there a more focused shift in your mind and heart to aspire to pastoral vocational ministry?
Yeah.
And then even pursue seminary.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did that start happening?
Great question. Yeah. 5 years ago, roughly. Okay. I remember it because it was just before Joel was born. I really started to have a stronger desire to serve vocationally.
Yeah.
And that's when Destin and I started talking more seriously about what would it look like to pursue seminary. Now I knew that was on the table. That was an option. And from there, we started trying to navigate, okay, I have this desire, but what do we do with this? So it was a good time to navigate that internal desire. And then also looking around at the broader church body at Desert Springs, since we're plugged in here, people know me best here. So they could come alongside and either affirm and encourage me in that or say, brother, I think you should stay where you're at. So that was a long process of serving the church faithfully, and just waiting to see what brothers, came alongside to encourage me in. And wait for opportunity.
Yeah. So then when Caleb Batchelor, the previous youth minister, youth pastor, went to South Florida, the position came open. What was your thought process and conversations with Destiny like about this position?
Yeah. Destiny and I joked way in the past that working at Desert Springs would be just miraculous and awesome, but no way that's ever going to happen. So, I mean, even when...
You have little faith.
Yeah. Even when Caleb was leaving, we thought, oh man, how cool, right? That'd be great. But it wasn't on my radar as a possibility. But he lined up a handful of guys to come in and teach. Mm-hmm. I had taught once or twice beforehand in youth, and he was really gracious to share that. Yep. And yeah, through those teaching opportunities... it became more of something in view of, man, maybe this is something I could potentially pursue and approach these men I love with.
Well, you are on our radar because we always look within for any staff hire. Mm-hmm. We look around at the men in our church who could potentially fill that role. And so you were one of the names on that list. So we reached out and started that interview process. You've been coming to elders meetings for... how long?
Gosh, I want to say 7-8 months now. Okay. It's been a while.
So coming up several months coming to and observing the elders meetings as a part of aspiring to eldership.
Yeah.
And so we were just like, what about Ben? And started talking with you and had a few rounds of conversations and here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah. When Caleb left, I was tasked with youth ministry, which is great. I love youth ministry. And I remember... he had a list of people that were teaching. And I remember after the first time you taught, I think I texted Chase and Drew and Alex, and I was like, I think he's our guy.
Yeah.
Before we even had the conversation.
Unbeknownst to me.
Yeah, it was, you know, because we've been
talking.
We didn't
want to get your hopes up.
Me nervous.
Yeah, so then I texted these guys, and then that's when we kind of, you know, tossed the ball and said, would you be interested? And we want to see what the Lord would do. And the Lord's always faithful, so here we are.
Yeah, we were so excited at the possibility of you becoming the full-time guy, particularly after your teaching, your ability to handle God's word and teach effectively. The fact that you have been discipled here and grown up, you're a DSC-er.
Yeah.
Like you're one of us. Mm-hmm. So we joked that... any deficiencies that you would have or inabilities or our fault.
Yeah. we didn't, I'll fall back on that.
We didn't teach you.
My blind spots are your blind spots.
So we take all the credit and all the blame for you, great. Brother. But we were so excited to raise somebody up from within. That's that's what we desire, to have a model of just a mass exporting of elders and godly leaders, men and women, that can go and lead in the church and become leaders here long term when positions become available, and providentially the timing worked out. And here we are.
Here we are.
So that's the history.
Yeah.
That's brought us up to now. You've been in this role for a couple months.
Yep, coming up on 2 months.
And so how's it going? Give us just the update, just right off the top of your head. What are the words that you would describe the last couple months of working full time and leading the youth ministry?
Yeah. Gosh, it really has been a joy. I went through a honeymoon phase. Destiny said I was skipping out the door those first few weeks, and I don't think she was joking. It really was a blessing to be at the church I love, in the city I love, doing the thing I love, which is bringing God's word to bear for the lives of these students. I think I might be past that honeymoon phase. There's so much to be done.
Yeah.
Ministry is, I've heard, a hamster wheel, and it never ends in a good way, though. I feel like I'm coming home tired, like off of a short-term mission trip where you're pouring yourself out all day, and you're tired, but it's a different type of tired than working in the corporate office, sitting in front of a computer for 8 hours. It's a joy in the work. There's a joy in it to be preparing teachings and getting ready for equipping classes.
That's right. You've even had a new structure and system to
put in place.
Yeah, not only did we make youth every week before Ben started, we also added a Sunday morning
another
Bible study.
Yeah.
Right? And we're like, okay, here you go, man. First job in ministry, do it.
Have at it. Yeah, that's great.
So let's talk about youth ministry specifically. Why did you want to become the youth minister at Desert Springs Church? What about youth ministry specifically excited you?
Yeah, you heard a little bit of it in my testimony, but my youth pastor was extremely influential in my life growing up. I mentioned before, we moved back here after parents got a divorce. My father went to serve as a civilian in Iraq, so I didn't have him in my life. I didn't have other men faithfully serving the Lord outside of this youth pastor. So to be able to look up to him and his love for the Lord and his love for Scripture just made such an influence and impact on me.
Yeah.
Biblical counseling is also another aspect of my desire for youth. In biblical counseling, you address so many aspects that age range deals with. Struggles of identity in Christ and putting our identity and hope in other things and being so concerned about what others think of us and our image, and even things of addiction and struggling with sin that seems to have strong grips on us.
Right.
Seeing the effectiveness of God's word come to those situations was huge.
Yeah, that's great. It's such formative years, the sixth grade through 12th grade. So to have direct influence and discipling opportunities is really powerful. And you mentioned in your testimony, when we heard Dr. Tom Schreiner talking at the pastor's lunch when he was here for Claris, he talked about his youth minister being so influential in his desire to pursue ministry and writing and all those things. I remember, so I texted you. I said, man, you might be discipling the next Tom Schreiner.
Humbling.
Like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah, I'm going to ask a little bit more of a fun question. Maybe it'll be fun.
You're the pastor of fun.
Yeah,
that's what we call you.
Well, I mean, you know, you talked about being in the honeymoon phase, and now you've kind of settled into a rhythm and understand the work. What I would want to know for any other aspiring youth ministers, youth pastors in our church, maybe, is what's in your youth ministry tool belt? What do you need? What are one or two things that you need to survive youth ministry or to thrive in youth ministry? What do you think those things are so far?
Gosh, yeah, that's a great question. The first thing that comes to mind is a rooted trust in the Lord that he's the one that brings about the work. Because golly, if you're looking to yourself to bring about that change, you'll be so discouraged.
Yeah.
Middle schoolers and high schoolers don't hold back their opinions, facial expressions and emotions otherwise, right? Yeah. You'll know if they don't think you're doing well.
instant feedback.
Yeah, instant feedback. If you're insecure at all, good luck. You really, I think, have to trust that the Lord is the one that'll bring the growth, and that many times that's unseen, right? These seeds are often under the surface, and we're watering growth that we don't yet see in that age. Many times it's years later that individuals will come to a saving, trusting faith in Christ, but you were helping watering those seeds. You were a worker. So that's paramount. That's huge.
Great. That's great. Yeah, you're touching on a little bit of just an overall vision for youth ministry, but if you could put a finer point on what is your vision for the youth ministry at Desert Springs Church? Is there a purpose statement? Could you put it in a nugget for us?
Yeah. We have a purpose statement up on the website. It's still using our, what do you call it? All those words in a row that actually mean something.
I want to say anagram. It's not anagram.
I don't know. Spread is what it is.
Yeah.
Acrostic.
Acrostic
is what it is.
Yeah.
I had to think about that one.
Is that it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. An acrostic. Yeah.
We're smart.
But many of them. Many of those pillars remain. I haven't gone back and revisited that, but I mean, we're still seeking number one most important goal to have these kids love Christ and follow Him and love His Word. So that's top of the tier. But we also want to cast in them a vision for God's church and what it looks like to be a part of God's church. Yeah. We're not some siloed off DSC youth meeting Thursday nights, right? So part of our aim and mission is to be getting these kids to think about the broader body.
Yeah.
And I've been so encouraged already that so many of them are. So many of them are faithfully serving in DSC Kids and other areas in the church. But we want them to have a love for God's Word. We want them to have a vision for the body of Christ intergenerationally, too. If we can get them connected with believers who are older than them, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's one of the driving factors even of youth staying in church after they graduate high school is if they were plugged into the wider body.
Yep. Tate, I've heard you talk about that before. Mm-hmm. What are the youth offerings now? We've mentioned them in passing, but just give us a breakdown of what's happening in the youth ministry and what are the specific goals of those offerings?
Yeah. We have Thursday nights. We meet from 6:30 to 8:15. We're getting a lot better at ending at 8:15.
Okay.
So if you show up, we'll be done and ready for you. And during Thursday nights, we are still unpacking a book of the Bible, verse by verse, in an expositional format.
Yeah. You just got done with the book of Romans?
Yep. And we are picking up Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes, yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
The utility of all of life outside of our identity in Christ.
Okay, so there's teaching, singing, small groups.
Yep.
Those are kind of the three-legged stool of what happens on Thursday evenings, right?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And then how is Sunday morning different?
Sundays, we are doing more topical geared studies. So we're currently going through an 8-week course on what is the gospel, following Greg Gilbert's little book, great content there. Yeah. But we have some exciting stuff coming up for equipping classes in the near future. We'll be having Bible study, inductive Bible study tools and practice that we'll be walking through, wise use of technology, assurance of salvation. Can we trust the Bible? So we're aiming at topics on Sunday morning that are super applicable to that age range.
That's good. And how have equipping classes gone so far?
Man, I don't know if it's the benefit of the excitement the church has.
Yeah.
So the parents are coming, so the youth are there, but we have been packed, and it's been a blessing. We've had to pull out more chairs each week, and I think students are benefiting from it. It's been encouraging.
My kids are loving it.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got three kids in that ministry, and they're loving the Sunday morning aspect of coming, being with their peers, hearing some teaching that's geared toward them, and then coming and gathering with the whole church family for worship afterward been really powerful for
it's
us
great
because so
it's more of a discussion on Sundays with it. There's more of a back and forth. You can ask questions as the teaching is going on, more of a classroom setting than what you find on Sunday morning or Thursday nights for the youth.
That's great.
So youth ministry is not just about fun, but what are the fun things that you guys get to do as a youth group or a youth ministry? Like, is there any rhythms of fun built into the things that you're doing on Thursday or Sunday?
You guys just pray and fast.
We just fast the whole time.
Oh, okay.
We're serious.
Eat rice. Contemplation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we often play Minute to Win It games. So every Thursday night, we have 15, 20 minutes set aside. And we're actually going to start a competition come this new year. All of the middle school boys, middle school girls, high school boys, high school girls will be in their own teams. And we'll see come the end of the year who has the most points and wins that. We'll probably go out to Hinkle, do something all fun right at the end for the winning team. But yeah, those Minute to Win It games are great.
Yeah.
But also once a month, we'll have an activity night where the last week of the month, we'll schedule either going out to the park and playing games. We played kickball and had Capture the Flag. And I know we've done broom ball in the past, and it'd be great to do Electric Playhouse in the future. And there's lots of options for fun activity nights, but this is a great time for us to grow in fellowship and friendship with one another and getting to know each other.
That's great.
Yeah.
What encouragements would you have for a DSC family who have kids 6th through 12th grade that haven't taken advantage of Thursday night or Sunday morning youth yet? What's your pitch to them? What's the value you see in them taking part in the youth ministry at Desert Springs Church?
Yeah, great question. Our goal is to help you, parents. That's why we're here. We approach youth group, and Timothy Paul Jones talks a lot about it. It's a model called the family equipping model. It's basically middle of the road. We're not on one extreme where we have no segregated age ministries at all. Mm-hmm. And the other extreme is that we just have a lot of fun activities where everyone's invited. It's kind of the middle road between those two.
Where youth are siloed off.
Right.
And they never have to interact with the larger church body or anyone outside of their age demographic.
Yeah.
That's one model.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tate, you could speak to this that we see a benefit in age segregated models, mm-hmm. but we also see the parent as the primary disciple maker of their kids.
Right.
That's in Deuteronomy 6 and elsewhere, right? So our job is to come alongside the parents, kids and families. Youth and families. We're here for the families. And so I want to encourage parents. I want to be another voice pointing these children's eyes to Christ, to delight in Him, so that these kids can hear from, in an age where they're listening to so many voices, hear from many more voices outside of the home that are telling them to trust in Christ.
Yeah. And we've talked about their formative years, they're challenging years, they can be complicated years, and many parents can feel overwhelmed or under-equipped. Or unequipped for that work of parenting teenage kids and middle school kids. So just a blessing to have somebody like you, Ben, and you, Tate, that are that's just thinking, how do we help this group of people grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus? And how do we equip these parents, who you said are the primary disciplers, how do we equip them to do that well?
Right.
So in Ephesians 4 way, we are equipping the saints, the parents, who are saints and members of our church for that work of the ministry.
Yeah.
And that work is raising these children to love and follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Yeah. I mean, we're very convicted here as a church, as an elder body, that coming to Christ can happen at any age. And we want to be able to equip parents to have those conversations, to lead their kids in their home. So everything that you said, Ben, I love because we've talked about it, and we see eye to eye on that vision of, we want to equip the parents. We want parents to know, hey, we are a space for you to bring your kids, but we get your kids you get them for two blocks. I get my children for an hour, like elementary kids for an hour a week.
Yeah.
So I just want parents to know, we're going to leverage that hour. We're going to do the most that we can, but we are coming alongside you. So I want to use my hour to bolster what you're doing in the home. And if you have, this is for parents, if you're having trouble figuring out what you need to do in the home or what you can do in the home, Ben and I are here to have that conversation, because we want to be able to give you ideas to equip, like Drew said, equip the saints for the work of ministry that happens and starts in your home. So so that's just the model that we've wanted to champion. We don't want to pull kids away from their parents so that we're the ones that are doing all the discipleship, and neither do we want to silo them off from the other adults in our church, because we want them to feel like they belong to this right. body of believers and not just to youth ministry. But yeah, so I love all those things. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to double click on them as you set them.
What about a word to someone who's considering volunteering, a member of our church who could consider serving in youth ministry? Help them think through whether that'd be a good fit for them or not. What would be some things you would encourage someone to consider if they're thinking about, maybe I could serve in the youth ministry? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's different than safety team. It's different than the welcome team. There are some unique responsibilities. You're leading sometimes middle schoolers in discussion. You're guiding them along. So it would be wise to have a good love of the Lord and love of the scriptures. We look for that in leaders. But we want more of them. Yeah, we want a broader gap of ages and generations that are serving as leaders and loving these kids well. So I would just encourage you, if that's you and you're thinking through whether or not it'd be a good fit, just come talk to me.
Yep.
We have some onboarding things we walk through, some questionnaires and interview, and we just like to chat and figure out what your heart is and what you're wanting to do. And these kids, the more voices they have, again, that are spread out through age, pointing them to Christ, the better.
So members of Desert Springs, if you're a single person, if you're a young married, if you're middle-aged, or if you're grandparents,
even better,
consider it. This is a ministry that's unique in that way that they could serve in any station of life. And I think the kids, like you said, would benefit from those saints in those various stages of life.
Right. And if we could even just rewind just a moment, I want to double click on too what we were talking about regarding us not being the primary teachers, right? The parents are that. We don't want the parents to have the mindset that they come to the front door, drop off the kids, and then I do all the work. They're the ones with those kids all throughout the week.
And
It's so supplemental.
Supplemental.
It's coming alongside.
Some practical ways that's done. One is the weekly email that I send out. I try to give some helpful tools and resources in there to parents. So if you're not on there, come see me. We can definitely get you on there. But two, we're doing bulletins now. I'm really excited about this. The kids can follow along what's going on Thursday night, but then also we have questions on the back of that sheet that they're going through in their discussion groups. But those can be used, parents, to piggyback onto those conversations that your students are already having. You can grab one of those questions and piggyback onto some of those topics and use them for the discipling of your kids.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
Anything else that you have the microphone? Anything else that you'd like to say about youth ministry, a word to the youth, a word to parents, a word to our church, to encourage them?
Man, I don't know about encouraging them. They've encouraged me. I want to give them a thanks. It's been such a blessing to serve in this new role and serving the church that I love. You guys and all of the parents and many of the students have been just so gracious to me coming into this new role, and I'm so thankful for that. And they've encouraged me well and been gracious with changes and just kind and welcoming. So I'm really thankful for that. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ben. We're going to get you out on this. More fun things.
We're going to pastor fun.
Yeah, we're going to do a little bit of rapid fire.
Rapid
so I'm going to give you
we need sound effects
Music. I'm going to give you some questions that have two options, and I want you to just give me the first answer of those two options. You ready? Ready for this?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, he didn't want to. You didn't want to not have options.
I don't like to shoot in the dark.
Okay. I'm going to give you options. Okay. So cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Summer or winter?
Correct.
Winter.
Morning or evening?
Evening.
Salty or sweet?
Salty.
Do you watch one episode at a time or do you binge?
One.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather fly or have super strength?
Super strength.
John Piper or Tim Keller?
Piper.
Wow. That was quick. Okay. Yeah. Shane and Shane or Hillsong?
Shane and Shane.
Shane or Shane.
What about City of Light or Sovereign Grace?
City of Light.
Oh, okay. All right. Street smarts or book smart?
Book smarts.
Learn by watching or learn by doing?
Doing.
Okay. And then your last one is, are you a dip your toe in the water or cannonball guy?
Cannonball.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. Well, yeah, Ben.
I might change some of those, but for now, those are what's submitted.
Well, that's awesome. You scored really high. Those were mostly correct answers. So you did a good job.
Ben, which one did I get wrong?
We'll let you know off the air. We're so thankful for you. You're doing a great job. We're thankful to the Lord that he's brought you here, that he brought you from darkness to light, that he brought you to our church, and that he brought you to this role. So people can be praying for you and Destiny in this work. And if they have any questions about youth ministry, you can email ben@dscabq.com Children's ministry in general, tate@dscabq.com, and they would love to hear from you. Well, that's all for now. Fun episode, guys. Thanks for this. Thanks for your time. Let's keep spreading God's glory broader and deeper through the youth and families in our church. Amen.
Amen.